Happens, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump has announced a new tariff agreement with Japan.
We worked on it long and hard, and it's a great deal for everybody.
It calls for a 15% tariff on Japanese exports to the U.S. instead of the threatened 25. Portions of the U.S. are in for 100-degree feels-like temps again today. Meteorologist Craig Allen.
It is quite possible that the risk of extreme heat will continue into next week still across portions of the central United States, the central and lower Mississippi Valley, and all the way on down into the southeast.
New York prosecutors say a Long Island man has been indicted after he placed homemade bombs on apartment building rooftops with a plan to set them off. CBS New York's Elijah Westbrook.
They're alleging that 55-year-old Michael Gann had created at least 7 IEDs.
Officials say he made them with chemicals he purchased online. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Portage County District Attorney's Office has released more information in the officer-involved shooting and double homicide in the township of New Hope that happened on July 6th. According to the press release, the Portage County DA's office determines the use of force reasonable and justified after reviewing the investigation completed by the Marathon County and Wood County Sheriff's Offices. The press release from the Portage County DA states the male victim was found shot to death in the driveway and a woman was found in the same state in the garage after deputies searched the inside of the property. The Marathon County Sheriff's Office has identified the victims as Paula L. Schulfer, age 52, and Dale S. Schulfer, age 53, and the suspect as their son, 35-year-old John L. Schulfer. When John Schulfer exited from the back of the home on the night of the incident, a deputy used his tactical flashlight to illuminate the area. The 13-year veteran with the Portage County Sheriff's Office saw an unknown person holding a pistol in one hand and what looked like a pistol in the other. After the deputy gave a loud verbal command, the person turned toward the deputy and raised the pistol. The deputy then fired his rifle 3 times. Schulfer was transported to the hospital where he is being treated for 3 gunshot wounds. According to the press release from the Portage County DA, while at the hospital, Schulfer admitted to shooting both victims. The press release also states Schulfer has not yet been charged. A heat advisory goes into effect today for much of central Wisconsin. The National Weather Service of Green Bay issued the advisory saying the heat index values could be as high as 104. The advisory is from noon until 8 p.m. Hot temperatures and high humidity may cause heat illnesses. The CDC recommends staying hydrated by drinking water. If you're outside, stay out of the sun and take breaks. You can find cooling centers in your area by dialing 211. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Packers open camp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers training camp got started this morning. Competition for jobs on the roster. Rashid Walker knows he'll be competing for his job, even though he was the starting left tackle all last season.
You know, the NFL, we have a long offseason, so I've been itching to just get back and just, you know, prove myself once again. I feel like that mindset could be contagious to the rest of the team. And, you know, if everybody's clicking on the same page, I feel like we can do great things this year.
Baseball. The Brewers losing to the Mariners in Seattle 1-0. Cal Raleigh, with his 39th home run of the season, he leads the major leagues. Pat Murphy asked, why did he pull his starting pitcher, the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, out of the game halfway through the fourth inning?
The kid knows we've got his best interests in mind, and we're going to try to do everything we can to keep him away from any situations that could lead to overuse or putting him in danger of exposing himself or getting hurt.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and humid with scattered thunderstorms likely today, and a couple of those storms could be strong to severe later this afternoon into this evening. The heat index today, also going to be an issue, close to 100 or better by later this afternoon. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and cooler, high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate,
they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll be talking about the University of Wisconsin system and K-12 public education with Trigby Olson as guest host, State Senator Kelda Royce, and Reed Galen. Join them.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. 7:06. Nice to have you here. Broadcasting today and tomorrow from Civic Media HQ in Madison, along with Parker Olson, right here in Madison Studio A2. Here's visual proof for folks watching on social media. This room really is big enough for the two of us.
Not by much.
But not by much at all. In fact, we could not possibly fit meteorologist Brittany Merlot in here, which is fine because she is in Oshkosh. She is roughing it in the elements. And Brittany, I've looked at the radar long enough to know the elements are headed your way. How are you?
Yes, they are. Good morning, everyone. I am fantastic so far. Woke up to a text alert here at Oshkosh EAA AirVenture saying, hey, listen up. We've got rain headed here. It's going to be starting around 7 a.m., lasting for about 3 hours or so. So that's what we've got here. We're still under the heat advisory as well, but a good chunk of the state from Eau Claire to Green Bay and everyone south is under that heat advisory today. We are climbing to the mid-80s to mid-90s, and it's going to be feeling like 100 to 105 degrees today. So we've got a lot of things going on. We've already got the warm front moving in, rain rolling through a good chunk of the southern half of the state. Nothing severe, but a few power outages caused from it. I'm not seeing any high wind reports just yet, but a lot of lightning strikes with this rain that rolls through, and it's kind of got a cool front as it moves in. It's like that shelf cloud, that spaceship look as it comes into the area. So that's what I woke up to this morning. A little bit of light drizzle, and now it's just cloudy and starting to get a little bit humid. So we've got chances of rain this morning, a little break in the afternoon, but I do think these strong to severe storms are going to start to spark up around 2 o'clock, far northwest Wisconsin. Some of those, of course, could be strong to severe. And then the line builds around 6 p.m. and works its way through the northern part of the state. It kind of fizzles out as it moves south. So the tornado threat is going to be just north of Wausau into Hayward, Eau Claire, Rhinelander area this afternoon. And high wind threat kind of stretches a little bit further south and towards La Crosse and just north of Green Bay. But of course, areas throughout the entire state down in Milwaukee and Madison, you could still see some high winds and some heavy downpours with this system moving in. It's going to be a pretty big line later on this evening. So round one isn't too bad, but round two is going to get much worse.
Well, and round one, I mean, it's nothing to shake a stick at watching it go through the Madison area. I was not aware that it was coming when it was getting ready in my spacious palatial hotel room in the Madison suburbs today. And then just as I opened up the curtains to get set to walk out for the day, I see it's just starting to pour. I'm thinking, if only I had looked at Brittany's notes a little earlier, I would have known to get out of the hotel earlier. But anyway, I stole this towel from the hotel room. I'm good. I'm covered.
I gotta cover your head.
Gotta remember to bring that back. And you take care out there as well. You got all kinds of people. You got gear. You got weather coming your way. So, and then by the way, you're going to be taking tomorrow and Friday just as personal days to continue to enjoy all that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yes. I know it's going to be pretty crazy weather, so I'm going to have to be staying dry myself, and I want to get in there and have some fun. So I will be back on Monday.
Oh, no, that is just fine. Robin Tigerton asks, did you do any flying at the EAA yet?
Not yet. See, this is why I needed some PTO. I'm going to get out there and social media. That's where I'll have all those videos for you guys.
Oh, that's fabulous. He says, good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 70 degrees. Yesterday mowed 5 yards in Tigerton. No mowing today because he has a doctor's appointment. He said, when I was a kid, I remember some of the hottest days of the year. We'd be baling hay or in high school at the beginning of football practice. We played Alison Krauss in our last segment and said his favorite song is When You Say Nothing at All. And, of course, notes the heat advisory is basically the Highway 29 corridor and south. I mean, it is a big old chunk of the state that's going to be both hot and stormy today. So we can no longer say you haven't been warned. Brittany was here to tell you, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. You guys stay cool, stay hydrated, and stay safe tonight.
Exactly. You as well. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. As always, we'd love to have you as a subscriber to our Up North News daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, and we have a Sunday morning newsletter that focuses more on the political news of the day, including a question of the week about early advertising. And if you see early advertising from somebody trying to build their name ID, does that make you respect their initiative, or does it turn you off to have such early political ads running this far in advance of a campaign? Again, you can always send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, to send an email. You can also, of course, text us through the Civic Media app, or you can send us a voice note. Just use that voice note feature when you call up one of the stations on the Civic Media app. Put a little recording on there, and we may play it here on air. Well, the Brewers' 11-game win streak came to an end. It did not go to 12 games. There will not be free hamburgers unless you head over to Parker's place. He likes to grill. He'll make you up a little something as you, cry in your beer about the Brewers not being able to reach that 12-game plateau. They lost 1-0 to the Seattle Mariners on a Cal Raleigh home run. It was... You know, it ended not with a bang, but a whimper, I guess you could say, the 11-game winning streak.
Yeah, not as bad of a whimper as the Phillies won the other day. Did you see this? They won on a catcher's interference.
Yeah.
That is the saddest win I think I've ever seen.
It is, but I mean, it is what it is. I mean, catchers can't put your mitt there where they can swing the bat, so don't do it with the bases loaded. It'll bite you, as it did. But the Brewers lose, but they will wrap up that series in Seattle this afternoon. Pregame starts at 2 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, 205 to be specific, for that game, and then the Brewers are off tomorrow. And then they start a three-game series Friday at home against the Marlins, and then the Cubs come to town next Monday. So when I mentioned Bill Berrien, the candidate for governor, running ads early, it's because he's got to build up his name ID. He's not an elected official. Other elected officials don't have to worry about that. They don't have to spend money yet. In fact, they can raise more money right now as a result. And that takes us to Tom Tiffany and headlines, including one in the Milwaukee Journal, that read, Congressman Tom Tiffany teases a run for Wisconsin governor, but says he hasn't made up his mind. Okay, that's fine, but he put signs out there when we talk about teasing. Like he recently tweeted out a photo of himself, you know, holding a crappie and saying that all future Wisconsin gubernatorial candidates must prove they know how to hold a fish. And he, of course, says, purchased the website domain name TomTiffanyForGovernor.com, which leads directly to his congressional campaign site. The homepage labels Tiffany, quote, a proven conservative for Wisconsin. You know, not northern Wisconsin. He's got the whole state lumped in there. And when asked by the Journal Sentinel, Tiffany told the newspaper he'd make his decision, quote, after July. Now, of course, he's not the only candidate who might yet run still. There is State Senate President Mary Felskowski. There's former Senate candidate Eric Hovde. There's former Senate candidate, Governor candidate Tim Michaels, and Tiffany as well. In putting those signs out there, what is it that we're supposed to read into this? Well, as somebody who's been involved in this little game, let me explain the game. fundraising is no fun. There's nobody that puts the fun in fundraising, despite the old joke. It is a long, hard slog of asking people to support your campaign because you're the candidate that best reflects their values and who wants to get things done. And so you sit there hour after hour after hour, either making phone calls or attending fundraisers or planning fundraisers, because this is the system that we have right now to raise funds to be a viable candidate. So how could you gin up that fundraising? What could juice up the donors a little bit? Well, one of those ways would be to get people excited that you are looking at bigger and better things coming up ahead. And as much as I love to tell people that you should not lump both parties together, you know, the both sides do it, both parties do it about a lot of things, this ain't one of them. This is one where both parties very much look for anything that provides a fundraising edge. And if that includes teasing a potential run that you're probably not going to make, but it gets some people excited, well, chances are you're going to put that out there. And I have seen people from both parties do this over the years. And I would not call it wrong. I would not call it even unethical. I would call it an unfortunate part of the fundraising landscape that's out there. We have had members of Congress from both parties who have multiple times teased a potential run for governor or a potential run for U.S. Senate, and or they just don't deny the rumors that are out there that they're thinking about running. And then when you look at their next campaign finance report, well, gosh, did they ever get a nice boost from people who thought, you know, that person might make a nice governor, or that person might make a nice senator. And it's just one of, you know, many tactics that are out there that Tony on YouTube best describes with the words money, 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 money. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's not easy. It's something where you're looking for whatever will give you just that little bit of extra bounce. And in Tom Tiffany's case, it's that. Now, he may actually want to run for governor. He may be serious about it. All I'm saying is that he has absolutely no reason right now to tell you, no, I don't want to be governor. I'm perfectly happy where I am right now. He's in a district that he can get elected in over and over again. He can lob all the spitballs and verbal grenades that he wants at Democrats, knowing that he is safe. But if he had to run for governor, well, then he would have to defend some of the things about his record as a member of Congress, as a member of the state Senate. He would have to face questions beyond northern Wisconsin about why he wants to, dig up or bulldoze northern Wisconsin. This is the person who led the charge to get rid of the mining moratorium, the rules that said if you want to open a mine in Wisconsin, here's what you have to do. You have to prove that you have operated a mine somewhere else and closed it. And for years afterwards, you did not pollute the groundwater. If you've done those things, then you are welcome to apply to open a mine in northern Wisconsin. But if you can't do that, all evidence shows you're likely to pollute and harm the environment in northern Wisconsin. So no, thank you. But that law's not on the books anymore because of, as he's nicknamed up there, Toxic Tom Tiffany. And he has consistently been on the side of development and extraction and anything that would make the Northwoods a little bit less than what it is. Mary Felskowski, if she runs for governor, will be in that same vein of trying to tell people, you know, why it is that they want to pave paradise and put up a parking lot. But until that happens, Senate President Felskowski, Congressman Tiffany, and others can continue to let their voters know that they're intrigued by the idea. They're exploring the idea of running for governor. Then once they announce, well, the fundraising starts all over again, and they will have lost, you know, the edge that they're building right now while they're continuing to let the rumor mill do its thing. And it is really doing its thing right now until Governor Tony Evers makes an announcement one way or another. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we're all back together in about 15 minutes, we are going to talk about declining enrollment and the reduction in state funding. Live here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold Unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this July 22nd, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our great friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We have Cabal with us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Hi, James. I'm glad to be back.
It's nice talking with you again. Great to have you by in the studio here, and always a great opportunity to hang out with you guys and talk a little bit about what's going on over at the Family Center. Appreciate you being able to hang out with us here. Let's dive right in, because I don't want to keep you too long. You have something really fun going on tonight over at the Family Center.
Yeah, so the people over at the food truck lot, they were so kind to do a supply drive for the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. So basically, anybody who goes and gets lunch or dinner today, feel free to bring like a canned good or dry foods and bring it over there, and whatever gets donated there, they'll bring it over to the Family Center, and it just goes towards our pantry or up to shelter, and it's a really good cause. So check it out, go get dinner and all the yummy food, and bring something to donate if you can.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity, especially if you haven't had a chance to check out any of our local food trucks or any of that. Some great food being made there by wonderful local people. Supporting them is a big part of what we like to do around here. And, of course, knowing while you're getting that good food, it's only going to taste that much better because you're helping out the Family Center. And that there's very few things that you can combine these things, or very few communities combine these things better than we do around here. Food, a good cause, it's a great opportunity. Drop those items off and know that you're really helping out some your neighbors, friends, family, you know, people that whether you know them or not yet, they are part of our community. And when we can step
step up and help each other out, there's very few things that are going to feel better than that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And I like what you said about dinner, too. Just giving people out there an opportunity. You don't have to think about what to make for dinner.
Right.
You know you're doing something good, and you don't have to think about what to make for dinner.
Right. And there's a good list of vendors, too. So definitely check it out.
And is there a place to go to check that out? The family, the Facebook page? Is that that's what I'm seeing is, yes. As far as that's a good place to go.
Yep. It was all posted on Facebook as a good reminder that that's going on tonight. So
yeah, be sure to check that out, everybody. And keep in mind, you can follow the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center on social media. Just type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Family Center should pop right up, and subscribe and like and keep up to date and everything they're doing over there. That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've got another big event right around the corner. We've been talking about this on our morning shows a lot, on both stations. We have our 5th annual Touch a Truck event right around the corner.
Yes, and to remind you, James, you are first up for the dunk tank.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I went back and listened to an old interview where I was reminded of that. Yes, yes. I am a part of the dunk tank, yes.
So that's exciting. But yes, that is on Saturday from 11 to 3. And there's just a lot of kid-friendly, trucks and whatnot and games. And there's going to be food. And so definitely come out and check it out. And all proceeds goes towards the family center. So
yeah, it's a wonderful cause for a wonderful event. And the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center, we're going to talk about another event in a moment here, too. But there just isn't enough events. We could have an event every month and it wouldn't be enough.
Right.
We've talked quite a bit with Amy and a number of people from over there about the cuts and the funding and a lot of that that's been happening to our local domestic violence shelters around the country, especially on a local basis here with ours. Here is another opportunity for the community to be a part of this event. Have fun, enjoy yourself, and know the whole time that you're helping one of the most vital nonprofits in our area, especially at a time when it's really all hands on deck. We could use everybody's awareness of this and being with us on this one. This event is also a lot of fun. There are so many cool vehicles that are going to be down there. We've already heard that we've got a couple of different places that are going to be stopping by.
Yep. And also I know some people who are going to be donating baked goods. Mm. So please go and purchase those baked goods. And mm-hmm. again, all proceeds goes towards the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. So it's all for a good cause.
We're going to have a raffle down there. Kids games, of course, the food, and as I've heard, at least I know that our police department, our sheriff's department, our fire department, I believe they will all be down there along with some other really cool vehicles. And it's all taking place at the Grand Rapids Lions Club. And all of this being said, this is also a free event, everybody. This is open to everybody. We want everyone to come on down, spread the word about this event, and come and have some fun and help us celebrate this 5th annual Touch a Truck event, again happening at the Grand Rapids Lions Club, July 26th, this Saturday, 11 to 3. Join us for this really cool, fun event and help support our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center at the same time.
Yeah.
And one real quick thing I want to mention about this. I've talked about this with the other Touch a Truck events and everything. When I was a little kid, I think the first field trip we went on was to the fire department. And long before I wanted to be an actor or be an entertainer or be on the air or anything like that, I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted so badly to do that job in particular. Mm-hmm. And it all stemmed from meeting those individuals mm-hmm. and getting the chance to be in one of those trucks and just literally touching that and feeling it. I can almost remember it like it was, a month or two ago, because I'm old. And not like yesterday, but it was pretty close.
Right.
I know that spark, while it may not have gotten me into being a firefighter, it has given me a lifetime of supporting our firefighters, taking any opportunity I can, like this one, to shout them out. And that's just from one little field trip. You bring the kids on by to this event, and it's going to be fun. They're going to have a great time. You also just don't know what might spark in them, mm-hmm. what might be created in them to where they get on a path of wanting to be in one of these fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I know from talking with Sheriff Becker quite a bit, on air, off air, a lot of our officers about this, really. Any opportunity for them to build that bridge with our community mm-hmm. and make that stronger. We're really fortunate in this area. We have people in positions that are accountable, that are face-to-face with our community, that are constantly working with and being in our community, whether it's our mayor or sheriff Sheriff Becker or any of these individuals. And this is a great opportunity for us to build that stronger, along with, of course, the bond we have with our family center and showing that we want to be on the right side of history with this one. All those individuals I just mentioned are going to be there and part of this, and we want you to be a part of it too. Mark on your calendars this Saturday, 11 to 3 over at Grand Rapids Lions Club. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good one. And Kabbalah, I certainly wanted to take some time to talk about the golf outing. Now, I don't have nearly as much experience with golf. I think I had the crazy clothes that you could wear for golf. That's about it. But I know with this event, one of the fun things about it is whether you're a pro or you've never picked up a golf club, you're going to have fun with this one.
Yes.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Our state agencies in Wisconsin now have a clear vision on the monies that have been granted to them through the state budget. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And that includes Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Secretary. He said he's very, very happy to see the monies that the state's investing in things like food security programs, county conservation staff, and animal health professionals within the state budget. Money was allotted to provide 3 staff positions at the Department of Agriculture's Division of Animal Health to support potential animal disease outbreak coordination as well as response. He said that's not something happening in every state.
They're feeling the pinch in that they're having to reduce the size of their agency. And I understand government efficiency. I think our agency is pretty darn efficient. And I think other states have the same thing. I have great respect for my colleagues in other states, and they are trying to be a resource for agriculture. But some of them are in really unique funding situations where they're having a hard time being a resource to their industry because they don't have the people or they don't have the programs. Or, you know, there's one state where they wanted to apply for a federal grant to do something for agriculture, and they couldn't do it because they couldn't administer the grant. And, you know, that's a tough spot to be in.
Randy Romanski, our Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Romanski says that the budget that was granted to his agency by the state legislature and Governor Tony Evers goes to show that they recognize the breadth and significance of Wisconsin's $116 billion agricultural economy.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit SteffesGroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S Group.com.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek for this year's Farm Technology Days, Generations of Progress. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There's also a rotary parlor, seminars, and, of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
And the application period's now open for 2025 Wisconsin Leopold Conservation Award nominees. Those are landowners that inspire others to consider conservation opportunities on their land. Go to sandcountyfoundation.org and find the resources there. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be hot and humid with scattered thunderstorms likely today, and a couple of those storms could be strong to severe later this afternoon into this evening. The heat index today, also going to be an issue, close to 100 or better by later this afternoon. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms and cooler, high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
I got two special guest hosts tomorrow, and they'll be talking with Pete Schwabo of Nightlight and Jim Santel of Amicus, a law review. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We must have done something right there in that last segment Tony puts up on YouTube. I might have to listen to more Black Sabbath from that description. Well, that wasn't me. That was the Associated Press. But
you put it so eloquently.
I read it in a convincing fashion.
Yeah, like a true radio man. You know how to read.
Yes, that's right. Left to right, top to bottom. I've got this all figured out. In today's homeroom segment, let's start with a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, a nonpartisan think tank, and their newest edition, their newest study, says Wisconsin education spending falls further behind the national average, noting that Wisconsin spent just shy of $15,000 per pupil on public elementary and secondary education in the 2022-2023 fiscal year, the most recent year for which the U.S. Census Bureau data is available. That was about 10% less than the national average of $16,500. When adjusted for inflation, Wisconsin pre-K-12 education spending per pupil has increased very slightly since 2002, just 2.5%. In 2002, Wisconsin spent about $14,000 per pupil in inflation-adjusted numbers, whereas the national average has gone up a little bit more than 2.5% since 2002. It's gone up 21% since then, as other states recognize the importance of educating our children rather than declaring war on education in our state. The Wisconsin Policy Forum report goes on to say this continues a long-running decline in our state's rank for per-pupil education spending, which back in 2002 was 11th in the nation. Wisconsin ranked 7th out of 12 states in the Midwest in 2023, compared to 1st among Midwestern states back in 2002. When statewide education spending is measured as a share of all residents' combined personal incomes, Wisconsin also has been on a long-term decline. In the 2000s and early 2010s, Wisconsin spent a significantly larger share of personal income on education compared to the national average. This share declined to roughly match the nation for a period prior to the pandemic. In 2023, however, that share increased nationally but continued to decline in Wisconsin. And the intro ends with saying, these figures are the latest example of a decades-long shift in our state's investment in public education and state and local tax burden relative to its peers. Observing them is particularly timely as state policymakers recently enacted the state's next two-year budget, of which K-12 education is the largest spending priority for the state. And that's as it should be. K-12 spending should be a high priority for the state. It still takes up a significant chunk of the budget, but much less so compared to the part of investment that was being made by other states. And when you get to the part about education spending as a percentage of combined personal income, that's what's called the tax burden. And the tax burden has gone down and down and down. And in the beginning, when it first started to decline, you could clearly hear politicians saying that that was a good thing in their book. And it has continued to fall to the point where if I were to say to you that funding education is no longer a significant tax burden, people, of course, would rightly say, well, that's crazy. Of course it's a tax burden. It's still the biggest part of the state budget. But in terms of it being a percentage of the taxes that you pay and as a percentage of the income that you get, the tax burden for our schools has gone down and down and down. And it has come with a price, with declining enrollment as students move into other schools, and in the loss of our best and brightest as our young people leave the state and go to raise their kids elsewhere, and as some of our educators leave the state in the wake of Act 10 in order to, again, pursue their career elsewhere. So the Wisconsin Policy Forum takes a very dispassionate look at the numbers and shows the degree to which, since Republicans took control of the legislature, we have made the education of our children less and less of a priority. That is eating your seed corn in a state like Wisconsin. And our original hope this segment was to talk to a business manager and a school board member about the impact of declining enrollment on state aid. And that's because it's very tempting to think, well, if enrollment goes down, well, then, yeah, state aid should go down as well, right? I mean, that only makes sense. It would seem on its face. But there are all kinds of fixed costs that stay fixed, even if there's a decline in enrollment. If you've got 30 kids in the classroom and then it drops to 20 kids in the classroom, the electric bill for the lights in that classroom are still going to be the same. If the buses still have to take the same bus route, even if they're stopping at fewer houses along the way, the cost of gas to fill up that tank is going to stay the same. And so declining enrollment should not be accompanied by a one-to-one decline in state aid. And there are ways in the state budget where there are other little pools of money besides general state aid that help school districts with that. But none of this in total has kept up with inflation for 16 years. And it's why you see this parade of referendums around Wisconsin, and why you're going to see them even after this new state budget. Because although it makes a significant increase in state aid to special education, which did take up a big chunk of all local school districts' budgets, but the zero increase in general aids means that in terms of inflation, school districts are going to continue to fall behind and are going to continue to have to go to referendum. Jimmy Koska is familiar with this particular phenomena, being a school board member himself, and knows a thing or two about how many school districts have passed referendum over the past 4 years. Jimmy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I come on and I usually come here to talk sports, but yes, I do. I'm in my fourth year as a school board member in my district in southwestern Wisconsin. So spent a lot of time, looking at referendums. Our district passed one 2 years ago, which is actually just wrapping up work this summer. So we're one of 245 districts in the state out of the 421 that have passed a referendum in the past 4 years. And since they put in the revenue limits, 3 decades ago, over 90% of districts in Wisconsin have gone to referendum, have passed a referendum. And you think about that, and that's, 9 out of it's every 10. There's a lot of districts in Wisconsin, 421 of them, of course. And then you think about schools that go to operational referendum, which are literally there to help pay the bills, pay expenses, keep the lights on, as you were talking about, the fixed costs, the things you can't, that can't go away. And when schools pass those, what they're saying is we have a perpetual hole in our budget that we can't fill with what we can bring in right now in our tax levies. So there are a lot of school districts that are working off of an operational referendum, which is, again, a perpetual hole in the budget, really due in part just to the fact that the funding system in Wisconsin for education has gotten so weird. So it is a very large number of districts in Wisconsin that have done referendum.
I like weird. Weird seems to be a good way to describe it. Could you describe when you were a new school board member, what it was like having to learn the way that education is paid for in this state, that it's not just a matter of, well, here go the property tax bills and here's how much we're going to get, and that it's a little bit more than that?
you know, it felt kind of like sitting in, like, you know, you ever see the, you know, any crime show where they have the big board and they got, yes, you know, the suspects all tacked up on the board and you got lines and yarn drawn from one point to, that's what it felt like for me anyway.
It does.
There's a lot. I spent time myself diving into it with WASB, which is the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and then going to the State Education Convention to really take a deep dive into it and learn as much as I could about it, especially knowing that we were going to referendum. I wanted to understand it. Like, why is this a need? Why is this happening even where, like, where I live? And it's really complicated. There's a lot of things that go into it. I think one thing that you started talking about here in this segment, Pat, you were talking about kind of the tax burden, right? The tax burden in the Wisconsin policy forum analysis has dropped. One thing that has also dropped and one that has changed is just in general Wisconsin public support for, you know, whether they would fund education or would they rather see tax breaks. That flipped about 3 years ago in the Marquette University Law School poll. So there's also a public perception that people feel like they're being taxed too much. You know, property taxes, and it's not just schools. I mean, there's municipal, there's county, there's all the extra fees and things associated. So in a vacuum, yes, school funding, a lower tax burden, but, you know, there's a lot of things going on beyond that. And we've seen our state legislature try to address not only education, but also municipal funding in the last state budget 2 years ago. There's so many moving parts to it. And then you have to figure it all, how it all comes out on your tax bill. And that's what we sit in a school board meeting and try to, you know, determine every year at an annual meeting. Like, what is our impact on our local tax base? What's the mill rate? You know, what happens if we do this? What if the if the referendum passes? What's the impact? How much of the referendum is part of what we're levying from local taxpayers? There's so many moving pieces. I can't even say I figured it out in 4 years, but I learned a lot about it and what actually goes all into it. And that's really helped me understand kind of why we're at and why. I've also, Pat, on a lot of these shows, talked about it as, hey, you know, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in regards to how we fund education in Wisconsin.
And the thing is, this is something that has been discussed for decades, quite literally, and that some years back, I forget exactly how many years now, but during the Walker administration, there was a Blue Ribbon Commission that was formed, a bipartisan group, to come up with, you know, a better mousetrap. And the Blue Ribbon Commission, made up of Democrats and Republicans, did their best, put forward some proposals. And if you really want to see educators who work on this issue get steamed, it's that there's this notion that after all was said and done with this Blue Ribbon Commission, so very little of it has been put into place.
And the other thing that happened, and this is what I think has really been the greatest impact to education funding in Wisconsin, is it also in that span, decoupling the rise in per pupil aid from inflation has really made a big impact. If you look at any school referendum graphic, the invariably will show you just the gap, the widening gap of what, you know, if we hadn't decoupled from inflation, what school funding would be now compared to, you know, how it is because it was decoupled from that. So now, you know, state aid might not go up for a couple of years like it won't now. Like, there's the general aid doesn't change, right? So there's a graph that shows just the widening gap of where school funding would have been had, you know, the old system stayed in place during the Walker administration, right? So now that's the gap schools are trying to make up. And that's also kind of the gap you're seeing where in Wisconsin, where you see that the per pupil funding, had it stayed on the old system coupled to, you know, tied to the inflationary measure, where we would still be where we were in the rankings, you know, 15 years ago with that. But instead, because it's been decoupled, now that per pupil education funding has really dropped off.
And by the way, that decoupling was done when Democrats were in control. I was one of those people that voted for it. And there was a reason why. The Great Recession had just started. And we were facing a $3 billion hole and said, you know, the money just isn't there to keep up with inflation this year. So let's take a pause this cycle. Republicans took control the next year and never hooked the train back up. And we've been falling behind inflation ever since. A local update is next for some of you. Others will stick around and Jimmy and I will continue our conversation here. And then we'll have much more in our 8 o'clock hour live from Madison today. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's time. Time for the pro to get everything for the job delivered. Large orders of lumber, doors, windows, paint, plumbing, anything the job needs, all from one partner. Get it today with same-day delivery. Get it tomorrow with next-day delivery on 50,000-plus products. Or get it on your timeline with scheduled delivery on everything from framing to flooring. It's time to get your whole job, all your jobs, delivered. Ask about all our new delivery options at the Pro Desk. The Home Depot Pro, it's about time.
There's a quote about the importance of setting goals. If you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there. This holds true for things that are important to you financially as well. To set your financial goals, think about your priorities. Outline them as either must-haves, such as a comfortable retirement, or wish list, perhaps a vacation or entertainment. You'll want your goals to be specific. Assign estimate dates and cost to each one so you can plan how much to save and how much time you'll have before you need the money. Next, hold yourself accountable to stay on track. This involves actively tracking your progress, maintaining your focus, and using these time-tested strategies. Diversify, own quality investments, and keep a realistic perspective. A financial advisor can help with this. Finally, enjoy that sense of accomplishment when you reach your goals, seeing your efforts literally pay off.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Working with and being in our community, whether it's our mayor or Sheriff Becker or any of these individuals, and this is a great opportunity for us to build that stronger, along with, of course, the bond we have with our family center and showing that we want to be on the right side of history with this one. All those individuals I just mentioned are going to be there and part of this, and we want you to be a part of it too. Mark on your calendars this Saturday, 11 to 3 over at Grand Rapids Lions Club. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a good one.
Yep.
And Kabbalah, I certainly wanted to take some time to talk about the golf outing. Now, I don't have nearly as much experience with golf. I think I had the crazy clothes that you could wear for golf. That's about it. But I know with this event, one of the fun things about it is whether you're a pro or you've never picked up a golf club, you're going to have fun with this one.
Yes. And I think last year was a great turnout. And so we're hoping for the same thing this year. Just, you know, really quickly, it is $100 per player. Or $400 per team. So if you've got some friends or some people you know, you don't have to be pro golfers, but go out and have fun. And again, proceeds goes towards a good cause, so why not?
Mm-hmm.
There is lunch provided at 11, and then it goes into the shotgun starting at 12. So
we're going to feed you. We're going to make sure you have a good time. You're going to get out there. And this event is also, golf in this area is just so loved. People love golf in this area. We see a lot of our great events that involve golf, always well attended, always have good teams coming out for them. And here is, I want to say, maybe the last of these kind of events of the summer to be a part of, and one of the most meaningful ones. You go out there, you have a good time, you're going to get a good score. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to get a good score. But you also, we're going to feed you and all those things. And again, just like with these other events, and I'm not bringing this up over and over again to beat you over the head with it, everybody. What I want you to do is get this through, how good this feels to be a part of these kind of events with our family center and with our nonprofits in this area. It's fun to get out there and enjoy some Mother Nature, the tail end of summer, because this event is going to be on August 18th. Mm-hmm. But it's also feels good to be a part of things at the family center and know that you're on the right side of this.
Yes. And again, it's also at the Bullseye Golf Club. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's also rewarding. And so I encourage anybody, if you have the opportunity to do so, I would partake in these opportunities.
It's a win-win for you, the community, and everybody involved. You, as Kabbalah has mentioned, all the proceeds go to helping the family center continue to do the vital work that they're doing in our community and help those in need and help those that, we really, really want to be there for. We're going to be a part of this event at WFHR. We're looking forward to that. We're very proud to be a part of it, and it's going to be a good one. Be sure to make plans Monday, August 18th, 11 to 3, over at beautiful Ridges Golf Course. Shout out to them, by the way, too. I love the Ridges. Any opportunity to get over there, you can have a glass of water at the Ridges and enjoy yourself. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Make plans for this event, everybody. And if you would like to sign up yourself or your team, you can go to familycenter.org to do that. Head on over there and reach out to the staff and be a part of this.
Yeah.
You know, Kabbalah, before we let you go, if you don't mind, I can't have you here, and I'd feel like we missed an opportunity if we didn't talk about a little bit about some of the Hmong programs that are involved over there. Do you mind touching on that for the audience, especially those that may have not heard of these?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, so I'm always trying to get the word out there that, you know, the Hmong program does exist, and we do primarily work with those who are Hmong and have experienced domestic violence or sexual assault. And, you know, we do everything that basically other advocates at the family center, what they would do. We do all the legal advocacy if needed. We'll do the emotional therapy, not therapy, but emotional support. We have our culturally specific food pantry that clients are welcome to come and get food that they're more used to in our culture.
And
there's so much more that we have to offer, and so just getting the word out there that we do exist, and hopefully friends can help friends and let them know that if needed, we are here.
Mm-hmm. I, as I've said to you before, I have such respect for what you're doing, and you are doing, you and others in this field, and are really groundbreaking, doing really important work right here. You understand this way better than I do, coming from the culture and everything.
Right.
But just having quite a few friends over the years and knowing a bit about it, and having a love for it, to be honest with you, of your culture and such, I find it so amazing what you and so many other young people are doing right now in that. And it's not just doing it, but doing it with the respect in the class that you do it with. Like, it's, you can't teach that. There's no class that can, you know, there's no app that you can download that can do that. It takes the person. And it's a part, it really is a credit to you and the others, again, in this community that are doing similar things, like at UW Extension and some
absolutely.
Of that. It's really groundbreaking work you guys are doing. And I appreciate it. And appreciate you telling us about it. If people wanted to know more about that program or maybe some of the other things we've talked about, is there a way to reach you?
Yeah, I mean, our crisis line is on our website, on Facebook, and if anybody wants more information, they could always call the crisis line and speak to one of the advocates, or even just ask specifically for a Hmong advocate if they're needing more, if they're needing services geared towards someone who may be Hmong or a person of color.
Yeah, and keep in mind, no matter what the color, where you are in life, or any of these things, the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has your back. Mm-hmm. We are there for you. We are want to be there for you, and are here to help in any way we can. That crisis line that Kabbalah mentions there, it's 24/7, everybody, and it is 715-421-1511. That is 715-421-1511. Keep that number in mind if needed. Of course, their business line is also available at 715-421-1559. You can email them, info@familyctr.org, familyctr.org. That is also the website that encourage you to bookmark. Great way to keep up to date on all the things that we just talked about, as well as being able to reach out to them and find out about other services and programs and just other information regarding this subject. Go to familyctr.org, bookmark that page, and while you're at it, go ahead and go to social media and type into your search bar "Family Wisconsin Rapids Family Center" and subscribe to their pages on Facebook and keep up to date with all the good work that they're doing there. We could always use volunteers, so when it comes to our events, if you would like to be a part of things, keep in mind that that is also an option and available. Just reach out to us at familyctr.org. Kabbalah, thanks again for the time.
Thank you, James. Thank you so
much. Say hi to everybody over there for me, okay?
I will. Thanks.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody out there for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic here at 97.5 FM, WFHR.com.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says he's reached a deal with Japan that calls for a 15% tariffs in exports to the U.S.
It's a great deal for everybody.
Japan will open its country to American cars, trucks, and rice. The man who pleaded guilty to stabbing four University of Idaho students to death will be in court for a sentencing hearing today. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti is in Boise.
Brian Koberger will spend life in prison without parole under a plea deal that some family members of the victims have called a miscarriage of justice. One question that may never be answered: what was Koberger's motive for murdering the four college students in Moscow, Idaho?
Fans paying tribute to the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, who died yesterday at the age of 76. This woman visited the Black Sabbath frontman Starr on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
If there's any man that gives me the will to keep on keeping on, it is Ozzy Osbourne, hands down.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.